I want to read to you all today from book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Now, for a number of you, you know what I'm about to read when I say Exodus chapter 20. It's okay if you don't, and you're going to hear it today. This is the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Now, before I read this, I've mentioned before that Jesus never wrote anything in the Bible. He never put pen to paper. He only told the stories and lived the life that while he was here on earth. And the witnesses, the disciples, told those stories of what he said. And that's where we get the red letter of what we believe that Jesus said. But he never wrote anything. There's only one place in Scripture where we can say that this is written by the hand of God. And that is the Ten Commandments. Because it tells us as Moses went upon the mountain that the finger of God wrote these commandments upon these tablets for the people. Not only were they for the people, they were for all people. To establish the law of God. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of God. He does not do away with the law, but he is the fulfillment. We'll talk more about that as well. Exodus chapter 20. And because we know this is written by God, it should get our attention. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that in that we are guilty of breaking one of the commandments, then we are guilty of breaking them all. We're all guilty. But this is where Jesus comes in. Jesus allowed our guilt to be placed upon his shoulders so that we would no longer receive the condemnation that comes from breaking the commandments of God. We would receive the forgiveness of him. But if we reject the word of God, if we reject the gift of Jesus Christ, then we are rejecting and we're calling for ourselves and our own and on our own to defend ourselves before God in heaven. And in doing so, guess what? Not really a guess, is it? We're going to fall way short. And we will come under the judgment of God without Christ. We who are followers of Christ come under the judgment of God that places that judgment upon Jesus Christ so that we can be received into his kingdom and forgiven of all of our sin. Now, as I look at this scripture and these Ten Commandments, if it were left up to men to talk about all the ins and outs, men and women to talk about all the ins and outs and the conditions and certain things or whatever, there would be volumes of books written. But God gives us simply Ten Commandments. And those are never done away with. Jesus says, "I've come not to destroy the commandments." Not one jot, not one tittle. Not one little bit, but he has come to fulfill it. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the commandments of God that where we falter. Just as it says here, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." That's it with all of these, folks. It condemns us where we fall short. It tells us what is the law. But it is God in Christ Jesus that will be held guilty. And yet he without sin shattered the condemnation to free us from the judgment of sin and death. And this holds true of all of these commandments. Now, recently a community, I can't remember where, I couldn't find it again, but they established a big marble statue of sorts of the Ten Commandments, taller than me. In the public arena, in the public square. And I thought, how wonderful that is to bring those commandments when so many people have never read or even heard of the commandments of God. To hear it and see it. And I used to think, y'all remember the time in which, it was just about 25, 30 years ago, when there was a movement of getting rid of all things in the public arena, any statues, any statements, any Ten Commandments from the public arena, and to get them gone. Do y'all remember that? And I remember even thinking and saying and preaching in agreement to that, thinking that, well, the right place for the Ten Commandments is in the home. The right place is in the church. But I digress from that viewpoint. It is not only for the home. It is not only for the church. It is also for the town square. And the only way to get that to that, to return to that, is for there to be a true awakening in this nation that brings us to the point that bringing something up like that does not become conflict, but becomes supported, because that is the foundation of this nation. Unlike Europe and the rest of the world, this nation was founded on Christian principles. It was founded on Christian principles. To direct ourselves away from those Christian principles is to deny our true founding. The way this kind of change takes place, though, is through the will of the people. And that will is through every individual who will seek to follow Jesus and want to uphold the commandments of God, the grace of God, the Word of God. Not too long ago, the Guidestones were blown up. Y'all remember those? I'm not in favor of somebody doing that, but I wasn't a real fan of the Guidestones either, but that was on their own property to do whatever they wanted to with it. But wouldn't it be wonderful for the granite industry? Some of y'all know people. Wouldn't it be wonderful for somebody to take out, maybe it's all the granite industries together, and to build a monumental Ten Commandments or something like that, or a monumental cross to show who we are as a people? That would be a blessing. But instead, we've gone through this time and arena where things have been taken out of the public square. Folks, when you take something out, something else comes in its place. Always. It creates a vacuum. And when you take the commandments and you take the display of the things of our faith out of the public arena, something else comes in its place. And you know what that something else is? It's secularism. Secularism. The belief in nothing. It is a belief, but it's a belief in nothing. Secularism has risen that somehow Christianity and things of faith have no place in the public arena. And I dare say at some point, if we go down this road of secularism, even the place of the church will not be a place for that to be established either. But secularism in Texas and some other places, they're trying to develop Muslim Islamic communities to force Christians out of a community by taxing them, by saying you to be a part of a community, you have to give a certain amount of money to the community that gives it to the mosque. And therefore shutting people out and growing Islamic communities. And the hope is there to then establish Sharia law. When there is a vacuum of Christian identity in our public arena, something else rises up in that vacuum. And we need to be aware of it. We don't need to shy away from our foundation and from our leadership, and we don't need to shy away from honoring the commandments of God. Whenever there's a vacuum of leadership, something else will come in to take its place. Y'all know who Jennifer Aniston is? Jennifer Aniston is the popular TV star and movie star to some degree. Friends was where she really got her name. Friends show in the 1990s. And that was about, you know, three girls living in one apartment and three guys and all the antics that go along with that and all the worldliness that goes along with that. And quite funny, and many people watched it. Well, she's on a podcast and in the news this past week or 2 weeks. And this is what she's had to say, because she's one of the most intelligent people in the whole wide world. Or at least that's what she thinks. Because she thinks that people following religion is just a stupid thing to do. Now, I'm not quoting her word for word, but this is basically what she's thinking. And that she's come to some kind of elevated intelligence to be able to say that her way of thinking, to have no faith in anything, is better than having faith and what you grew up with. Now, I don't know her background. I don't know whether she was beat up with the Bible. You know how people can do that, right? I don't know any of that. But I do know what she's saying is wrong today. It's not right. It's not correct. It's not even intelligent, folks. She goes on to say, to think that you're only a product of how you grew up. So if your parents were people of faith, then you become people of faith. If your great-grandparents and so on and so forth, you're only living out what you are. However, her own statement of denying and becoming secularized herself is that she believes that you can change. And it's historically not factual. I am not a Christian because my mom was a Christian. I am not a Christian because my dad was a Christian or my grandparents. I'm glad they were. But I am not a Christian because they were. I am a Christian because of the transformational nature and person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and I know Him as a personal Lord and Savior. Regardless of what my family believes or doesn't believe. If they were atheists, I would believe this today because I know it to be true. And if we were to follow what Jennifer Aniston is saying, then we would all be pagans today. Europe was not always Christian nations. It wasn't. It was pagan. They followed multiple gods, the Norse gods and many other regions in there. They followed all sorts of pagan type gods. They changed because of the good news of Jesus Christ that came to their land, that was preached and taught and they converted and they were transformed by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You see, they became not just a product of where they grew up. They became a product of the voice and intervention of God in His Word, the commandments, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Alton Brown has recently made a statement that he was baptized as an adult in front of thousands of people. I respect Alton Brown. He's a great cook and great personality on cooking shows. Graduated from the University of Georgia, folks. I'm even more proud of him. But he says that he's not really a believer anymore. However, he hasn't stopped believing, he says, because he's so fearful of God and going to hell. And that's not why I believe. And he says, really, I wouldn't choose to follow God because I don't want to go to heaven, because singing in a choir all the time to God just seems boring to him. Well, that's a sad statement of what you think heaven's going to be. Because it's going to be wonderful, joyful, and we're not going to be twiddling our thumbs. God didn't bring us all this to establish something far worse. But there's something more joyous and more blessed than we can imagine. And we don't follow God because we're fearful of going to hell. We follow God because He saved us from hell. Saved us from condemnation. And brought us into a right and loving relationship with Him. I'm guilty when I look at the Ten Commandments. My family can look at me right now and say, yeah, John, you're guilty. But it's the redemption of Jesus that no longer holds us in that guilt and that condemnation of faltering by breaking the commandments of God. How is it wrong to want to raise your children, for the church to want to raise the youth and children of this church and in this community? How is it wrong to want to raise them to know Christ? When you know that Christ is everything, gives you the greatest meaning, who's restored broken relationship, how could you want to leave your children up to whatever comes their way? When truly Jesus has taught us to teach the children, to go and to preach and witness and to tell the gospel truth, to make disciples of all nations. How is it wrong to want to raise your children to want to know Christ? Listen, the world is already doing a good enough job trying to convince them not to follow Jesus, and to follow other religions, and to follow secularism, and to follow the latest fad or societal ill that there is. I think of the young 20-year-old man who in 2001, 2002, 2003, in that time after 9/11, two parents out of, I believe, California it was, that really doesn't matter, it could be out of Georgia, but this was their story. They were very liberal, progressive-leaning, secularized professors. And they did not want to raise their child in any certain religion or non-religion or anything like that. And they wanted to leave it up to him to determine what they would, what their child would do and decide on as they grew up. Well, in doing so, this 20-year-old decided to follow the Taliban and to join up and to be a fighter in the Taliban group in Afghanistan, and he was captured. This is why we know his story. Think about that. Parents just gave him, you determine, and a vacuum of leadership took place. Maybe this should be a Father's Day sermon or a Mother's Day sermon. Don't neglect your leadership as parents to be the men and women God has called you to do, to bear witness first to your family, to your spouse, and to your children to know Jesus Christ. Bring them to church. Don't let the world keep them at home. Bring them to church that they will love the church and that they too can make their own decision to follow Christ. Don't neglect the duty to go and make disciples first and foremost within your own family. The world is already pushing so much stuff. From every identity to every religion to the opposition of Christianity, even. To even folks saying that abortion is okay. It's women's rights that matter most. How can a life of a child that's within the womb be so callously thrown away? Imagine Mary herself holding the baby Jesus within the womb. But her decision matters most. God chose one who would choose as well the adoration of what was growing in her womb. The Ten Commandments. We all fail at it. But Jesus offers the forgiveness of all of our sin and offers us redemption. Let us not create a vacuum of leadership in this church, in our homes, in this community, and in this nation, but let us pray for revival. Let us pray for awakening in this land and around the world. And let me tell you, awakening doesn't happen by force. Awakening happens by the will of the people choosing to follow Jesus and seeing the redemption and the transformation that takes hold in all our lives. Let us pray for that. Heavenly Father, God, we pray that we come to you and we pray for our nation. We pray for the people of this nation. We pray for one another. We pray that you establish in our homes a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, where the Ten Commandments are posted already upon our hearts, where the blood of Jesus and His body is posted already upon the doorpost of our heart. And may we see it grow. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.